With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Minneapolis to Macon, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Coming up this morning here on the show, our friend Bobby Marks from The Vertical. Those guys do amazing work dissecting the NBA on a daily basis, and nothing is more interesting than the NBA's offseason. This used to be what baseball was all about, with the winter meetings, the start of free agency, teams swapping stars, spending tons of money, lots of different maneuvering over the course of the baseball hot stove. And instead, basketball has completely taken it over. Football cannot match this. Baseball cannot match this. Hockey cannot match this. Basketball's off-season drama, off-season maneuvers, off-season changes, drama, soap opera is second to none. So we'll talk to Bobby Marks about that coming up in about 35 minutes from now. As always, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. We've got Tiger's painkiller problem. We've got the anniversary of one of the biggest shots in NBA history. We've got the NFL in London door being cracked open a little bit more. We've got one of the NFL Hall of Famers talking about early memory loss. So there's a lot to get to this morning on the show. You can always hit us up on Twitter, also DA on CBS, and watch the broadcast at watchda.com. You know, I have a part of me that is completely empathetic toward the Cleveland sports scene. I just feel like if you've been through that much torture, you've been through that much misery, that you deserve to finally be delivered from that evil. I just think you've put in the time. As sports fans, I really believe in this. If you put in the time, you should be rewarded at some point, at some point. And for Cleveland to deal with all of the crap with the Browns and the drive and the fumble and then the move, to deal with 70 years of the Indians and Jose Mesa, and to deal with the Cavaliers losing LeBron and Craig Elo, Jordan over Elo, it just has felt like they've deserved better. And they finally got it last year, obviously with the championship and then the Indians all the way to the World Series. And it felt like, okay, you know what? A tortured sports city, which has nicknamed itself the Factory of Sadness, had finally dragged itself out of the darkness. And I got to tell you, today, if you are in Cleveland, it feels like the old days. It feels like the bad old days. It feels like your cheap, ridiculous owner back in the 70s and 80s trading away your number one draft pick every year. It feels like the old misery or the new misery or the old misery of the new Browns It feels like the mess of Major League the movie, because in Cleveland right now, you have this gem of a franchise which has gone to three straight NBA finals, won a championship, was the darling of the city, has LeBron and Kyrie, and could do no wrong. And this morning you wake up and you realize, oh my God, it might have all gone in the crapper again. Because we have now today seemingly the imminence of LeBron leaving for Los Angeles next summer. Kyrie hypothetically, or maybe not, sources saying, looking to get traded. And the Cavaliers having fired a general manager without LeBron's consent, meaning that the players in Cleveland are telling other players like Jimmy Butler, hey, you don't want to come here. That the Cavaliers reportedly had a deal for Jimmy Butler or was close to a deal for Butler, and Butler said, get me to Cleveland, I want to compete. And that players on the Cavs texted him and said, you don't want to come here, don't come here. I mean, could you imagine if Rome crumbled that fast? That 1 year ago, there was a parade. 1 year ago, there was the sunlight. 1 year ago, there was the deliverance from misery. And 1 year later, everything's in a hell blender again? This is incredible. And is this all because of the owner? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
You're the greatest sports city in the world. And thank you. Thank you. And one more thing. When this is all over and that banner goes up, there's only one thing left to do. Repeat.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Well, there's nothing more inspiring than a Dan Gilbert celebration, is there? There's only one more thing to do. Repeat. What was that, Dan? Would you like to enunciate a little bit more? Yeah, speak from your gut here. Please project.
And we're going to repeat.
What? So look, this is a house of cards right now that is very delicate. And I hope for Cavaliers fans' sake that it's not already blown down. Because if this is true, that the Cavs players have told Jimmy Butler, no, you're wrong, you don't want to come here, then this is really bad. Because I'll tell you this. Had the Cavaliers pulled off the deal for Butler yesterday and have traded Kevin Love in a three-way deal to get Butler back, it makes them better. It absolutely makes them better. And if you want to use the imagination of the mind, I don't know if there's another imagination, but if you want to use the theater of the mind, you could say, well, if Kyle Korver hits that shot in Game 3 and the Cavaliers blow out the Warriors in Game 4, then it's a 2-2 series. Who knows what happens? At least it's going 6. It comes back to Cleveland. Maybe they force a Game 7. Then anything is possible because of LeBron. You know, that the Cavaliers weren't really that far, even though it was a short series away. And, you know, if you add Butler there, who's a much better defender than Kevin Love, and can do a lot of the little things that Love does, and can be a very, very good third scorer, or even second scorer to push Kyrie to be a third scorer, the Cavaliers are very much improved. I don't think that they're better than the Warriors on paper. I don't think the roster is as good, but they're absolutely improved, and that gets them a step closer. And if I'm the Cavaliers, yeah, I'm going all in for one more year, because if I don't ever get LeBron James back, if he leaves next summer, I've got to make sure I took advantage of every year we had him. If we only got him for 4 years in this middle of his prime after he left for Miami, I better go all in all 4 of those years. Because what's the next step? If you lose LeBron, you can't stay competitive. There's no recipe. There's no magic potion. There's no game plan on remaining competitive after LeBron leaves. I don't care if you hold on to Kevin Love and you hold on to Kyrie Irving, because you're not trading LeBron, so you're not getting assets in return. You're just getting cap space. And what big-time free agent wants to go to Cleveland unless, you know, he was born in Akron? So, no, you don't build for the long term. You build for the now. You've got to go all in now. And if the Cavaliers were that close to getting Butler, and sources say in Chicago that he told Chicago management, get me to Cleveland. If this all came crumbling down because Butler said, you know what? Maybe not. After all these guys are texting me, hey, man, you don't want to come here. That means that Dan Gilbert really did screw the pooch in the biggest way possible by firing Griffin the other day without LeBron's consent. That is mind-boggling. I mean, if you are Dan Gilbert, do you not realize you have the golden goose for only right now? And everything past that doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Everything past the golden goose doesn't matter. You are going to slip right back into irrelevancy. There's no doubt about it. Once that guy leaves, it's AL, years after LeBron. And it's going to take a decade to build back up or whatever it's going to take, but it's not going to be immediate. So, look, yesterday I said I just don't think there's any way that Dan Gilbert doesn't run it by LeBron. But with this report that basically the players are going, don't come here, we don't know what's going on here, that tells me that he did do it without LeBron's support, which is crazy, which is total insanity. And I know what you might be saying, going, DA, you can't give LeBron all of the control of an organization if he's going to leave in a year anyway. Guys, I can't stress this enough. The Cavaliers are over when LeBron leaves. They are just another team. And if you are just another team in the NBA, you don't matter. The moment he walks out the door, they don't matter. And that's a harsh statement, but it's reality. It is truth. I'm only speaking the truth here. The moment he walks, if that is next summer, they are an afterthought. So forget planning long term. And I know that sounds crazy because in sports, you're supposed to plan long term and make sure that you're always competitive and make sure that you never fall on your face. What other evidence do we need? LeBron has a championship contender in Cleveland. Miami does not. He leaves Cleveland, they become the lottery team. Miami becomes the champion. He leaves Miami, they become the lottery team, and his future lottery team, the Cavaliers, become a champion. He's going to do the same exact thing. When he leaves, you suck. When he comes in, you're a champion. If Dan Gilbert ran off the general manager and that foobarred this entire thing with getting Jimmy Butler, that's insanity. Total insanity. 855-212-4CBS. If this is true, that Gilbert ran off Griffin and now the whole franchise is in some type of turmoil, and because of it, players told Jimmy Butler, you think you want to come here, but you don't, pull out of this deal, then Dan Gilbert has screwed the franchise as badly as any owner can screw a franchise. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. So the Cavaliers Theater is only one piece, one part, one act of the NBA's insanity. What was yesterday? Last night, I was at this event celebrating the 25th anniversary of the 1992 NBA draft, where Shaq went one and Zoe went two. And so those two guys were part of a Q&A with Doris Burke, going back over the draft, their career, their rivalry, then being teammates in Miami to win the 06 title. As this is going on, my phone is nonstop going off. Texts, tweets, news alerts. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I mean, it felt like the NBA imploded last night. We'll get to all of that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You know, Aaron Rodgers broke his heart. Hashtag stay away from me, buddy. A video that, you know, I've gone to psychological counseling for.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Get away from me, buddy. Words that will live in infamy here on the show. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer it. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. And O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Isn't it amazing how kooky, how bonkers the NBA's offseason is? Isn't it not amazing that it has now become one of the greatest theaters in sports? In fact, as we all realize, the NBA's offseason is way better than its actual regular season or postseason. But it's a silly season, and right now everything is happening. Yesterday, as I just mentioned, you have the Cavaliers drama. You also have what I think is a great deal for the worst team in the NBA. You've got to realize that the Brooklyn Nets had no assets. None. When this current regime took over before last season. Absolutely nothing. In fact, you could have made the argument at that point in time that Markson Atkinson walked into a situation that was the biggest dumpster fire in the NBA. They inherited a franchise that didn't have its next three first-round draft picks. Its next three. And it was going to be bad. And the players were not good. And the team was going to lose a lot. And so basically you were wandering through the desert over the next 3 years without any reward for being bad. Now, a lot of coaches and GMs won't even last 3 years if they don't have some winning season. So could you imagine signing on board to a franchise that had lit fire to everything before it because of the ill-fated Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Billy King nightmare, and saying, we're going to be trash for 3 years, and we won't even get draft picks to stockpile during that, but we're going to stick it out. Well, ask anybody around the NBA, and the Brooklyn Nets, with Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, have two of the most respected people in the league. That this year, the Nets were awful. The previous year, the Nets were awful. And you've got people around the league going, man, their future is bright. You say, how could that be? They don't have any assets. They have no top-end draft picks. They have no players anybody would want. Why? How? Yesterday's deal shows you how. The Brooklyn Nets pulled off what I think is a masterstroke for them. And I totally understand it from a Lakers standpoint. The Lakers send Timofey Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell to the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets send Brook Lopez, specifically his expiring contract, just one more year left, and the number 27th pick overall. The Nets also have the number 22 pick in this draft. So in other words, the Lakers go, look, we're going to draft Lonzo Ball at number two. We don't need D'Angelo Russell. He's been a bit of a disappointment when he's been here. And we want to create max cap room next summer. So instead of Mozgov, with a couple of years left, let's take on Brook Lopez, who is going to be off the books next summer. Cool, I get it. Lakers want a clear space for Lonzo Ball, clear cap space for Paul George, and maybe LeBron, maybe somebody else. Fine, get rid of those guys. The Nets, though, A, immediately get better, so that next year's number one pick, which also goes to the Boston Celtics in a swap, Celtics get the Nets pick if they want, and I think they will want it. They immediately get better, so hypothetically, the Nets are not picking number one and lose the number one draft pick of the number two or number three like Jaylen Brown last year, because you get Mozgov, but also an established point guard in D'Angelo Russell, who has his problems, but you're obviously better from a talent standpoint adding him, and you still have the number 22 pick in the draft. So what the Brooklyn Nets did was basically, Lopez for Mozgov is a push. Lopez is a little bit more productive, but Lopez, again, is not part of your future, because you're not going to be good enough to still have him around. He's up there in age, and his foot, you never know when it's going to explode. So it's essentially a push for Mozgov. You got to pay more money to Mozgov, but you've got incredible cap space because the Brooklyn Nets don't have anybody on their roster. They tried to give Allen Crabbe and others a ton of money last year, and they just declined it. They said, no thanks. We don't want to come. So money has nothing to do with this. It's basically a push at center, and you have traded the number 27 pick in this draft for D'Angelo Russell, who the Nets feel, at 24 years old, can be one of their young pieces moving forward, And now if he's even a serviceable to above average point guard, now you don't have to draft that point guard. You know, because you got to realize the clock starts ticking on the Nets once they start getting their draft picks back. Well, let's say next year the Nets, it's not the first pick overall, but it's the 10th pick. And that the Celtics are the 26th pick. So now you're only dropping 16 spots next year. If you're just a little bit better. Just a little bit better. I think it's a masterful move. Because again, you've got no assets. You've got no flexibility here. You can't sign free agents. Nobody wants to come to play for you. And you've got no high-end draft picks. So what do? You have flipped the 27th pick overall this year for a former number two pick just 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I mean, pretty brilliant. You also have Dwight Howard being traded to the Charlotte Hornets. Look, at this point in time, the fact that Dwight Howard can be moved for a Plumlee says all you need to know about Dwight Howard. The fact that you could acquire Dwight Howard for a Plumlee says everything. Dwight Howard's over. It's completely over. And I think the Charlotte Hornets are in that no man's land. What do you do to get better? What do you do? I mean, the Hawks are dealing with this right now. The Hawks had a core that went to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. And what do? Well, Al Horford left free agency. Then we're trading Kyle Korver. Paul Millsap's going to leave as well. And now we traded Dwight Howard. You know what they realized? Better to be terrible than just another team. And that's what the Hawks are doing, doubling down on being terrible. Got to do it. You have to do it. What else are you going to do? So Dwight Howard leaves. This is four teams in 4 years, I believe. But, you know, at least he's working on his threes because that will help out. You know, he can stretch the floor. He's working on his threes. Good. You have, as I mentioned, the Lakers making all types of space for everybody for the summer of 18. But you also have now the Clippers shopping DeAndre Jordan, that he's on the trade block. Look, DeAndre Jordan is a very good player. He's an excellent player. But it tells you all you need to know about where the Clippers are. The Clippers could lose Blake Griffin. They could lose Chris Paul. And they're shopping DeAndre Jordan. They might be ready to tear it down. And they might be ready to say, you know what? Let's clear everything out for the summer of 2018. And let's see, maybe we can get LeBron and Paul George here as the other team in LA. So now with Jerry West there, there's a bit of an arms race between the two LA teams. Let's clear out. Let's give flexibility. Let's give ourselves a shot. And let's try to create a super team or an NBA power. Both teams in LA trying to do that. What a 24 hours. What a 48 hours. And the draft hasn't even happened yet. The NBA's offseason is always kooky. It's always crazy. It's always got action. And it's amazing. It's the best hot stove we have in sports. Used to be baseball. Then it was football with free agency and all the player movement. And now it's totally basketball. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll talk about all the moving parts of the NBA's offseason with former NBA executive, front office executive, and insider now for the Vertical, Bobby Marks, next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
An ass whooping's only an ass whooping for so long.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
An ass whooping's only an ass whooping for so long. Never have more important words been spoken than by Matt Mitrione earlier this week here on the show. A reminder, you can always watch the show. The digital broadcast going on right now on your PC, on your laptop, or on your phone. WatchDA.com. Well, the NBA's offseason's already off to a roaring start. Tomorrow night is the NBA draft, and joining us is one of the members of The Vertical, arguably the best place to find all NBA coverage going into the draft and the offseason. Our friend Bobby Marks is going to be part of the draft show for The Vertical tomorrow night. Go to thevertical.com. Mannix, Wojnarowski, and Bobby Marks making up a tremendous amount of coverage that they do over there at Yahoo and The Vertical. Bobby, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
Appreciate you dropping on by. Let's start with what looks to be a Cavaliers mess. Now, who knows what's truth and what's fiction, but it sounds like there's some chaos, or at least unknowing, after the removal of David Griffin from general manager. Do you think the Cavaliers made a mistake getting rid of Griffin?
Well, I mean, a guy who leads you to three NBA finals, including a championship, and you don't renew a contract. Yeah, I think that is a mistake. Chaos, I think, leading up to the draft is probably a little bit overrated. I think from a draft perspective, they're sitting on the sidelines when we get into Thursday night. They don't have a pick in either round, and they don't have money to buy. But there's a lot of players in place. As you've seen the last couple of days, there's a lot of movement here. So can you try to go get a Paul George? Probably not Jimmy Butler. Those are probably the discussions that Cleveland is talking about. But I know Kobe Altman, who is running things right now. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he'll be fine going up to July 1, but they'll need a strong voice when free agency starts.
Do you think that Dan Gilbert got rid of David Griffin without the consent of LeBron?
Yes, I do. Why? I think Dan Gilbert doesn't have a respect for general managers.
But
I really don't. He thinks you could roll the ball out there and let LeBron take you to the finals every year. And he'll learn a lesson again next summer if their franchise player walks, which certainly is possible.
But why would Dan Gilbert not want to respect the voice or the wants of the franchise? I mean, wouldn't it just make obvious sense to ask LeBron and gauge his temperature on something like that?
Well, then that's a Dan Gilbert question that he's going to need to answer. I mean, he's been pretty silent over the last couple of days. I know he's sent out a press release on, I believe, Monday night. But I don't understand the rationale. I thought Griff should have been locked up after they won the championship last year in Oakland on the plane ride home.
And so do you believe that Cavaliers players are telling Jimmy Butler, hey, you don't want to come here? Because it sounded like Butler wanted to get traded there. Now it sounds like he's pulling out because Cavaliers players have told him, you don't want to be here. You believe that?
I don't know. I think Cleveland, it's hard to pull a deal for Butler. I know Kevin Love would have had to have been in play, but to try to get a top-level lottery pick, top five, top six, I don't think Kevin Love's value is that right now. And where else on that roster can you move pieces? Tristan Thompson, I don't know if that can get you a first, maybe a decent role player, but they're limited in assets as far as how they improve that team.
Bobby Marks from The Vertical joins us here on the show. You said it might be a little easier to get Paul George for the Cavaliers. Why?
I'm sorry, I got cut off.
It sounded like you said it would be a little easier to get Paul George in Cleveland. Why would it be easier to get him?
You know, he's more of on an expiring contract. Butler's got years left on his contract. That's got more value. George is more of a rental. I don't think it costs you as much. If you probably ask Kevin Pritchard right now, yeah, there's probably a high number where Kevin's looking for. So what happens with George with the Lakers? Does Boston try to get in the mix here? I've said all along, you know, Kevin doesn't have much leverage there, but how can you get multiple teams bidding against each other?
What type of value do you think Dwight Howard has to the Charlotte Hornets after he was traded to him last night?
I think the trade was a no-brainer for Charlotte. And I understand the warts of Dwight Howard, but he can still give you a double-double every night. You take on his contract, you move up 10 spots in the draft, which is basically a late first-round pick. You get rid of the Plumlee contract, which I thought was dead weight, and now you can put Zeller as your backup. So I think him working with Steve Clifford, I think it's a good fit. Is it going to get Charlotte to the NBA Finals? No, but it certainly helps your depth there.
We have spoken to you about the ill-fated Brooklyn Nets trade that you were part of a couple of years ago, and now Brooklyn's obviously trying to dig itself out of that. And I thought last night they did a good job in trying to swap in some talent there and getting D'Angelo Russell. What did you think about the Lakers and the Nets trade last night?
Well, I liked it for Brooklyn. You know, point guards are hard to get in this league. I thought that's where they maybe missed out last summer when they signed Jeremy Lin, but they didn't have another player kind of backing him up. And when Lin went down, it left them really exposed. And now you get D'Angelo Russell, who was the number two pick a couple of years ago. You can develop him. You'll probably have him for the next 5 or 6 years at least. You've got to take the Mozgov contract back. But I think Timothy is still a serviceable center. I don't buy into what happened in L.A. I think, you know, remember 3 or 4 years ago, it cost you two first-round picks to get him. So I like what Brooklyn did. I think those are the trades that the Nets will have to do. Lakers is kind of a wait-and-see mode. What do they do with the cap space that they just created? Because you just gave up a guy you drafted number two overall a couple of years ago.
Sounds like the Clippers might be shopping DeAndre Jordan as well. Who knows what type of movement could happen there. But what do you think about the future of the Clippers? It feels like there's a million balls in the air for them.
Well, there is. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, you have to put him in the same perspective as Paul George. Remember, he's going into the last year of his contract. He's got a player option, but likely will opt out. So that's another player who's a short-term rental. So if you're a team looking to try to acquire him, why are you going to give up a lot of assets when he's going to be a free agent a year from now? Regarding the Clippers, yeah, you're right. They've got a lot of balls in the air. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick. Do you want to preserve cap space for the summer of 2018? You're a repeater tax team if you bring all this group back. And what is the upside here as far? Are you a second-round team? But on the other end, if you hit the reset button, you don't have the young players waiting in the wings that you can develop. You've traded multiple picks in the last years, and you'll be headed to the lottery if you let Chris Paul or Blake Griffin go.
Bobby Marks from The Vertical joining us here on the show. We also had the report yesterday that the Knicks would keep the door open to trading Kristaps Porzingis. Now, for Knicks fans, they're losing their mind going, this is the only valuable commodity, the only positive thing on this roster as it is. Is it crazy to entertain trade offers for Porzingis?
Yes. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the rationale behind there. Are there hurt feelings for him blowing off the exit interview at the end of the season? Probably. I still don't understand why Phil Jackson has not communicated with him or actually met him in person. I would have been on a flight to Latvia and sat in his living room and figured out where this is going, or I would have been up there that Friday when he didn't make the meeting into Westchester County and sit down with him. Here's a player who is your franchise player on a third year of a rookie contract, not even in the prime of his career, and what are you going to get back? Multiple lottery picks that are still the known. Sometimes the known is better than the unknown.
So school is wrapped up for most kids right now. We're either right after finals, around finals. I want Bobby Marks's teacher's grade here for Danny Ainge of the Boston Celtics. How have you viewed Ainge collecting all of these draft picks right now and where the Celtics are?
How about an incomplete?
Okay.
I want to see.
Okay.
And I think moving from 1 to 3, they'll get a great player at 3. But I'm a big fan of Markel Fultz. Now let's see what happens to that Laker or possibly that Sacramento pick in a couple years. Or what do they do with that pick and maybe the Nets pick? They've got a Memphis pick. They've got a Clipper pick. What do you do? Can you put those together and maybe get a all-star, all-NBA type player? So I think the jury is still out a little bit as far as what Danny's been able to do. I'm a big Jaylen Brown fan also, who they drafted last year. But there's still a lot of ball things in play, and they've got a lot of cap. They could have a lot of cap space this summer, possibly 29, 30 million.
Yeah. The interesting thing with the Celtics is it sounds great to collect all of these draft assets, but you can't keep all of those draft picks on your roster. There's just not enough space. And so ultimately you can't use all of those draft picks. So they've got to trade them. So in some ways, it's like having money you can't spend, right? I mean, they having all of these assets, they're going to have to trade away for something at some point. It's just when Danny Ainge says, okay, now is the green light, right?
Well, Well, no, you're right. And remember, they have two players who they drafted last year in the first round, international players who are played overseas this year. And you also have multiple second-round picks this year. So it's great to have that flexibility, but it's not an NFL roster. This isn't a 55-man roster. This is only 15, and how do you fit all those, you know, under one roof?
Do you think the odds-on favorite to land Gordon Hayward are the Celtics?
No, I think he resigns in Utah. I think that's the perfect fit for him. There's a comfort level there. They drafted him. He's been there 7-8 years. They're kind of on the cusp of doing really good things, as we saw this past year.
You think it's inevitable that Paul George is moved this summer?
Yes. I would be surprised if he's not moved by the first day of free agency. I think as the weeks linger here, his value starts to diminish.
You said that Markelle Fultz you really like. Do you like Lonzo Ball at number two?
I do. I think one and two, Fultz and Ball, I think there is separation for where maybe Jason Tatum is and Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox. I think Lonzo Ball would be perfect in Los Angeles. I know we hear some of the off-court distractions, but I love his size. I like his ability to push the ball. I don't think his shot is broken, which many people think it is, but he would be really good there.
Bobby Marks, front office insider for The Vertical. Hey, how about The Vertical's draft coverage tomorrow? Check it out. They do amazing work surrounding the NBA's offseason and the draft and everything else. TheVertical.com is where you can watch that. Bobby, it's always fun to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bobby Marks joining us from The Vertical. They do amazing work over there. And a couple of really interesting things that Bobby mentioned there. You know, the Celtics situation is fascinating because when you look at this happens in both the NBA and the NFL. We don't really do it as much with hockey and baseball because the draft isn't as immediate a feeder system. In hockey and baseball, those guys have to go through the minor leagues, and we oftentimes don't know about the types of players that you are drafting. In hockey and baseball, it's much more of a futures commodity. So you're buying something very low, very unknown for the large majority of fans. And so stockpiling draft picks doesn't mean much because you won't see the payoff for 3, 4, 5 years. In the NBA and the NFL, we are very much a society into draft picks. Part of this is our fantasy football and fantasy basketball, our fantasy GM that's in us all now. It's in our DNA. We love doing it. We love building rosters as sports fans now with fantasy, video games as well. But I think also this idea that a draft pick is always potentially a superstar. And so every draft pick you have feels like another potential superstar. You'd rather believe in the unknown of greatness than the known of mediocrity. So when the Cleveland Browns collect number ones and number twos, number threes, and you say, well, the Browns have 14 picks in this year's NFL draft or whatever. You know, Washington gets a billion picks for trading out of a draft slot. Or the Rams get 10 picks or whatever it is for trading away the draft rights or the potential to draft RG3. We're always all in. Yeah, get the draft picks, get the draft picks, get the draft picks. When, look, the Rams didn't end up doing anything with all those draft picks. Didn't end up doing anything. But the Rams, after the biggest haul ever, I mean, not ever, but one of the biggest hauls for RG3's draft rights, they're still an 8-8 team. Their head coach is 31 years old, completely unknown, completely unproven. You know, think about when, trying to think, well, there's been deals like this as well in the NFL where one team moves out, collects all these draft picks, and it doesn't amount to anything. In the NBA, this is happening with the Boston Celtics, okay? Danny Ainge, it's great because it sounds great to collect all of these picks. You've got how many picks the next three drafts? You've got like 6 first-round picks the next three drafts. You got all these number twos. You got all these selections, and people just assume, well, you know, you'll nail all of those, or you'll nail 50% of those or 75% of those, and you will build a super team. The issue in the basketball world is you can't use them all. There's not enough roster space to use them all. So he's had to deal with stashing guys across seas with the 2 picks that Bobby Marks was just saying. And you know, he just traded out of number one. Now, he might get the guy that he wants, as he mentioned, at number three. But in other words, you just having all those picks doesn't guarantee you anything. Besides, it gives you flexibility because if you have picks, you can always trade the picks and say the Cleveland Cavaliers have no flexibility because they have no picks. So it always gives you a trade commodity, and that's good. But it doesn't automatically give you good players. It doesn't automatically give you great players. It doesn't automatically make you a winner. And it's interesting. We fall in love with the potential of greatness, the unknown, instead of going, well, yeah, who knows? I mean, you got to use it. You know, this is always the thing of the trade deadline. NBA, MLB, trade your guy for a bunch of picks or young stars or young players, prospects. This happens every year. And then you look back at some of the biggest trades and go, well, it looked like we got like four great prospects and none of them panned out. And so the Celtics are right now at that precipice. I mean, you can keep trading forward and pick up draft picks, but at some point you've got to use them or trade them because it doesn't make you a better team. It doesn't make you a champion if you just never use them or you don't use them well. When we come back, the anniversary of one of the biggest shots in playoff history. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.